Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Go Steelers! Go Steelers! Say go Steelers! Go Steelers!
Outpost Podcast, a proud member of Sports Drink Network. It is May 16th, 2022. This is Tom coming to you from the Sawdust Studios of the Washington, D.C. Outpost. Nick joins me from the Houston Outpost. This is an unusual off-season podcast in that we're doing it Monday because, once again, schedules collided, preventing us from having the podcast earlier. But here we are with exactly 18 minutes to do this podcast.
I think we got a good 25 to talk about the pretty exciting information we have in store for the Steelmen. This is the thing, is like, we know it's going into the dead zone. The torturous pre-training camp months in which we truly earn our football enjoyment. You know, we are allowed to enjoy football in the way that we do due to the Moses and the Israelites in the desert suffering that we go through. But that time has not arrived yet, because I feel like the few weeks after the draft are really exciting when you actually know who your team drafted and you can really dive deep into them and think about them within the context of your team instead of them compared to another guy or whatever. So it's a great discussion to have. I'm glad to have it here. And there's another place where you can have that discussion with other people. That's ColorCast, which is a live audio-only sports talk platform that's free to download and easy to use. You can talk to fans, athletes, and insiders in real time. It's perfect for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and reacting to breaking news. All you need to do is download the ColorCast app for free in the iOS App Store, create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the group.
You always advise me not to bury the lead in these things. Sometimes I'll go down to something that's interesting to me, but maybe not to the audience. Of course. And we may disagree on what the lead is because the 2022 schedule was just released. However, I think the lead is, how's Kenny doing? We just had rookie minicamp.
It really is. You mean you get a shiny new toy, glorious, maned first-round quarterback, and you get pictures of him on your practice field in the jersey? I agree with you. That's the lead. How's Kenny? I started trying to do an express podcast yesterday in order to get the pod out on time. Failed. Had way too many things to do. I was doing it from the car. And I started talking about this, and I've slept on it. I've thought about it even more. Look, it can be easy to justify a draft pick and be like, okay, we got Kenny Pickett or we got, you know, Artie Burns, whoever it is. I don't mean to compare those two guys. and then say, oh, now that we have him, maybe he will be great. And then there's what I think I'm going through right now, which is I didn't want to draft Kenny initially for the reasons that I said, like, it's just going to be hard for him to ever be a top five type quarterback when you look at the physical tools, blah, blah, blah. But I think now, like, I always said that I liked him. And I think now that I've been able to just dive a little bit deeper and look around and take a breath, I think I got seduced a little too much by the Mahomes-Allen unbelievable playoff game and the way that these quarterbacks are coming in mass into the NFL. And I think maybe I committed a little too hard to, like, you can't win with the team effort anymore. Now, I do think it's harder than it ever has been before to win with, like, okay, good quarterback play, not necessarily elite, and then great defense, because you're literally not allowed to play great defense anymore. Like, there were, even the Seattle Seahawks were able to just knock the living crap out of people in order for, like, an early career Russ to get a Super Bowl. Same with Ben, same with Brady, right? But it's just hard not to get more excited about Kenny because I've had this particular thought when it comes to him. So I definitely think talent-wise, and this isn't really an arguable point. This is what it is. I think people start talking about talent as if it's it's really not very subjective. You can tell. His talent level is Alex Smith, Andy Dalton, Ryan Tannehill. I mean, even Ryan Tannehill's guy, he's bigger. He has a stronger arm. He's faster, blah, blah, blah. But that's the level of quarterbacking he's in. But when I look at him compared to the rest of those guys, especially throughout the draft process and since he's gotten drafted to Pittsburgh, once the quarterback, you know he has the physical tools, which Kenny does. Like, it's like, okay, they might not be the best, but his arm's good. He's accurate. He's big. He can scramble. He's got amazing air. He can do everything. Once you check those boxes, then you can talk about the intangibles. And correct me if I'm wrong or if you think differently, Dad, but I just feel when you compare Kenny Pickett to those quarterbacks, he has such a more impressive presence and like an alpha nature and a calmness and a confidence that's like understated but very clear that he's just comfortable in every room and on the field. Alex Smith also is like that, but Alex Smith is historically conservative, like throwing the football down the field. But as the rest of those guys, Tannehill, you know, Garoppolo, all these dudes, they don't have the presence that Kenny has. And that does get me really excited for him as the quarterback, especially given the insane weapons that the Steelers have right now. Because, by the way, I am counting the two new receivers. They're Pittsburgh Steelers drafted receivers, and they're not weirdo versions like James Washington, the deep threat who's not fast. Like, they're going to be good. So I don't know. What do you think? I hate it when people overhype intangibles of the quarterback because you need the tangibles first, but Kenny does have the tangibles, and it just seems so far so good. I can't have Mitchell Trubisky. He's a beta. He's a nice guy. He can't be the quarterback of the freaking Pittsburgh Steelers. Kenny Pickett's, he's got a little something about him.
You mentioned Artie Burns before, and you didn't mean to compare them, but you know, you sort of feel like no matter what the player is, if he was drafted in the first round, like first round him ordains you, like somehow you'll elevate because you are a first round pick. We know that's not true.
Right.
Here's what I would advise. Everybody should go listen to the interview that Kenny gave at the beginning. I think it was after day one of the rookie minicamp. We've seen and heard a lot of interviews, but this was really, to me, kind of impressive. He's chill without being aloof. He's engaged. Right. He was talking to the reporters. He didn't have anything to prove, but you felt like he has it. I got this. He's the one saying, like, I don't know any of these guys' names, but I need, you know, I'm trying to get them all on the same page. But until I know other names, that's kind of hard to do. So you could see, no, it is rookie minicamp, and he is the alpha among the rookies, obviously. So there's a little leg up. It'll be interesting to see how that evolves when everybody gets into camp. But at least, you know, at a minimum, you've got to own rookie minicamp as the number one drafted quarterback on the team. And yeah,
right.
I know we'll differ on the hair, and hopefully he'll mature and that'll get quaffed a little bit better. But maybe he's like Samson and he needs that flow.
Yeah, hopefully you'll just get you will mature in your opinion of that, and you'll understand that that's the biggest asset he has, and it looks great. I think that because when you look for guys, you look for these elite categories. He just seems like a grown man. Right. And it part of that's because he was in college for 6 years or whatever. A lot of that being due to transfer portal and COVID, not just because he was like floundering or whatever. But just because you've been in Mitch Trubisky doesn't seem like that. And he's been in the NFL for years. Right. There's other guys who don't see. Andy Dalton doesn't really seem like that, honestly. And I think that that's the only other one I can think about recently when I go through the quarterbacks in my head. There's charming guys like Trey Lance and Zach Wilson, but they seem young. You know, Justin Fields is composed. The only other one that I've seen really get into, you know, we're looking at interviews, but that still says a lot about a guy. It's like Trevor Lawrence really seems like he had that as well. That comfortability, right? Like he's chill without being aloof. And he's not my favorite quarterback from that class. I like Zach Wilson a lot more because I like the guy with, you know, transcendent throwing ability. But that is just something that has been really impressive since they drafted Kenny is like, man, there's something there to that personality. Hopefully his physical tools can trend towards Tony Romo and those type of guys. And to me, it just really revolves around one thing, like learning how to be comfortable in the pocket and not bail all the time. And if that's the one big thing you got to work on, at least it's not 10 big things.
Well, there's another thing we said we need to get comfortable with, and that is Pickett to Pickens. And I agree with you. It's very exciting to watch this duo come in And another interview I highly advise everybody to look at is the Kelvin Austin interview. If you didn't like this guy or love this guy before, you will love this guy. He's another guy. He's a short guy with a chip on his shoulder. He's had a, you know, he makes a point of it all the time. Ever since he started in high school football in his freshman year, discounted at every corner in his football life, and he had to prove himself. If I don't know how you feel about the pick, he's all speed, and that's what Tomlin admitted. So what do you want out of Kelvin? He's run fast. So that's
awesome.
That's fine, yeah. But I kind of think he's gonna, you know, he's got the moxie to outperform his size, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what he can do.
Oh yeah, definitely. And the rules will let you. I mean, people got to realize the draft has changed so tremendously because of the rules. You're not allowed to hit people, so it lets a lot more people play quarterback. You're not allowed to hit people, lets a lot more small guys play receiver and stuff. So that's cool. And Pickens' interview was awesome as well. I didn't realize he had that personality and that kind of charm to him. So that was exciting with the rookie minicamp. I didn't see any interviews from DeMarvin Leal or anything like that. And is it Leal or Leal? I feel like we got to get that down.
Yes.
But I do know that they gave yes to both.
You can call him. He said either or. It's fine
either
with
me. Either or. Well, thanks, DeMarvin. That's a pretty chill guy himself. And by the way, I do think that he already put on the 15 pounds.
That, he said that, right.
Yeah, that scouts have been looking for. You know that these guys can do
but
stuff
Mike
like
Tomlin,
that.
In his interview, when he was asked, does we all have to put on weight, he said, if he's saying that to you guys, that's just conjecture. He's just listening to football people talk about that.
Well, I mean, he also could be saying that to not give other coaches an advantage, thinking like, oh, we got to run at this guy because he's small or whatever, you know? What do you mean?
Tomlin doesn't lie.
No, he doesn't lie. He just leads men with the correct truth for the instance there. But that would be encouraging if he was able to take care of that so quickly. They gave Connor Hayward number 83, so like straight up tight end number. That's really interesting. And then Kevin Colbert, I don't know if I read this wrong or if somebody was joking on Twitter, but it looks like Kevin Colbert said they had a first-round tight end grade on him. That doesn't mean – they had a first-round quarterback grade on Mitch – on who's the other guy with the big head? Mason Rudolph.
Hey, didn't they – but – wasn't this a thin tight end draft class?
Yeah.
So if it's relative to that's hard to believe that he had a first round tight end grade.
No way.
If it's a thin pool, maybe relative to the rest of the tight ends, maybe they would say, but he's not a first round draft pick.
Yeah, but it's exciting to have him. I was just very intrigued that they've committed to him as a tight end that way.
Yeah, we'll see if he becomes the Swiss Army knife they described him as before. Hey, what do you think about the Steelers' opening game being away for the eighth straight year?
You know, what's funny is it doesn't affect me. I guess I don't care, maybe because I'm not on the team that way, but it's sort of – it worked last year with the Bills thing. It creates a sense of urgency. How much does that really matter to you? It's almost like, well, we get more home games for the rest of the season. We open up on the road. We get 4 weeks to prepare for a road game with a team that has all the pressure on them. It's just like last year with Josh Allen coming in. Now you got Joe Burrow. The problem is it's the Bengals, right, is the opening game. The problem is I do think that the Bengals, they just have a matchup on the Steelers. I'm not saying the Steelers can't beat them this year, but I could see the Joe Burrow and receiver – you know, party Bengals just giving the Steelers problems for a while, because it's like I've said over the years, the one type of team that has given Bill Cowher too and Mike Tomlin's teams a lot of trouble are true elite throwing teams with elite quarterbacks. So I think it could be tougher than Josh Allen last year, even though Josh Allen might be the best quarterback in the league right now, because they were just kind of — they don't have the number of weapons in the traditional pass game, it seems like, that the Bengals have. But I kind of like the Steelers starting on the road, getting to play the Bengals, getting embarrassed by them twice last year, seeing the Bengals go to the Super Bowl. Bengals got to win this game. Steelers are predicted to be fourth place in the division. So all the pressure's on them. I don't really care. Makes it feel like you have more home games during the year. But it is weird that I guess it's like the seventh longest streak since the 40s or something. Like, the Steelers are always on the road to open the year.
Yeah, I don't really care. It was just interesting. The Steelers open as a 6-point underdog. Do you think that's enough?
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, did they lose by less than 30 to the Bengals at all last year? They might want to up that
spread.
What,
but let's account for the first game of the year. You know, maybe and usually the Steelers start slow, but they'll have a new quarterback. So it's hard to predict whether that first game, everything will be worked out, and maybe that'll work to the Steelers' advantage, given the kind of offense they're running.
I think that it's tough for the secondaries early in the year is generally the consensus. So I think that that would work against the Steelers, especially with like kind of a new secondary and with a Bengals team that returns everybody. So I would think that would work against the Steelers, but that victory against the Bills last year in week one would spit in the face of that take. So I'm kind of excited that the Steelers get to take a crack at the Bengals for the first week. That's cool. But yeah, of course the Bengals are going to have the advantage.
Two pieces of good news, at least from my standpoint. One from my standpoint, no 425 games on Sunday so far.
I love that. Yeah.
They may flex. It just totally screws up your day. The other good news, which I think the team would consider good news, is the bye comes in week 9.
Yeah, final a nice middle of the season bye, and what they have 5 primetime games.
I didn't.
I believe so. Yeah, they got 5. They're the Steelmen. All right, I think they're tied for. I think there's like 8 teams that have like 5, and the Steelers are one of them. Cowboys and Steelers are always going to get primetime games. I know a lot of people don't like them. I know you don't like them. It sucks for you. I mean, I'm in Houston, so I get an hour behind, which is very helpful. But I love the night games. I know even Florio said that the Steelers don't like night games because because people have work in the morning, so they don't want to go. I'm like, what? All fans have work in the morning in every city. What's going on, Pittsburgh? We need to lower those prices. We need to get the season ticket holders away from these old guys who hate TikTok and don't want to show up to the games and get it to the young, drunk kids so that we can have the damn home field advantage we need.
Brooke Pryor, staff writer for ESPN, predicts the Steelers will have 3 wins by bye week.
All right,
walk through that.
Yeah, thank you for your analysis there.
Pretty extreme. I thought it was pretty extreme. Yeah, I'm just curious what you think. We open with the Bengals. That does not augur well for a win. And then the Patriots come to Pittsburgh in week 2.
Yeah, why don't we do this? It's going 4s. You want to read out the first 4 games of the schedule, and we'll just kind of briefly overview them. And before you do that, I just want to say, same thing I say every year. Like, you actually can tell a lot about the schedule release. There's this fad, this sort of cliche that people have this time of year. You can't tell anything from the schedule. Okay, that's just objectively not true. If you had the Patriots or the Ravens or the Steelers on your schedule for the last 20 years, it's going to be a hard game. Like, are you kidding me? I understand that there are major changes, like when the Steelers didn't play Aaron Rodgers and Andrew Luck in the same season, like all those quarterbacks were injured. So, of course, that will happen. But I would amend that from you can't tell anything from the schedule to there's going to be some big surprises in the schedule that way. But you can tell how hard it's going to be. You may not know if you're going to win or lose, but, yeah, you can tell a lot. So what about those first 4 games?
Bengals, Patriots, Browns, and Jets.
So, obviously, yeah, the Bengals are hard. That's a divisional game, though. That's why I would like to say it's a toss-up. But with how badly the Steelers got dominated against them last year and the Steelers having to add new moving parts, that might be a little bit tricky. But you do have to like the Patriots and the Browns without Deshaun Watson, assumedly. You'd presume that they won't have Watson at that time. And if they don't have Watson, they're obviously still a really good team, and they could definitely beat the Steelers. I mean, their defense is so stacked, and you know, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah in his second year. There's just a lot that they have going on there. And then that unbelievable run game it's going to be the same. Like, that's Kevin Stefanski, that Minnesota via Denver Kubiak run scheme kind of thing. Like, those run games are going to be good every year, especially with the personnel they have there. But I just am back to having this feeling with the Browns. Like, if they don't have Deshaun, like, the Steelers are going to get them. I would think so. So having the Patriots it's the Patriots, but they just had such a lackluster offseason. It's hard to be scared of a team without weapons in that way. They don't have an offensive coordinator. I mean, it's totally in Bill we trust, but they're not an overly intimidating team. Steelers could lose any game on the schedule, and they probably could win almost any game on the schedule. But you got to like that as the second two. And then who's the fourth game again, you said?
The Jets.
Yeah, the Jets are the same thing. Like, I actually I could see the Steelers starting 3-1 with that stretch. I you know, we're Jets fans by proxy of Pat. I'm extremely excited about Zach Wilson. But again, they had to rebuild from the Adam Gase era. They had literally zero good players left on the roster. It was insane. I mean, they traded Jamal Adams, which is brilliant. Look what they flipped that for. But they had nobody on the roster. They have so much exciting young talent. But emphasis on young. Even the coaches are young. Never been a head coach. Never been an offensive coordinator till last year, these guys. I don't think that the Jets are going to start rolling right out of the gate. My hope for the Jets is that like halfway through the year they start gelling. But you're just relying on so many rookies and first-year guys. And then a defense that was injured the entire year last year. So there's like no continuity on that team. So while they're talented, I think that they'll have a tough time. And once again, it really is true. We're going to predict the Steelers to be around 500, but those three games are very favorable, even if the Bengals is a tricky one. But hey, at least the Steelers have a lot of familiarity with the Bengals, and what they did against Buffalo in week one last year, there could be some eerie similarities, because you know they're going to spend all summer diagnosing that Bengals team, and you can't diagnose the Steelman because it's brand new.
Speaking of Buffalo, the fifth game is at Buffalo, followed by a home game against the Buccaneers, away in Miami, and then away in Philly.
So the Buffalo thing, you'd feel nervous about that, right? Just because the Steelers caught them last year. But then yes. When you think about it, they dominated the Bills the year before too. And Ben threw that awful pick six and just had one of the worst games of his life when he was in that little three-game stretch. And, you know, Deontay's dropping the ball, three times in the first possession or something insane, and they just shot themselves in the foot. But they really confused Josh Allen that game. And then we said going into the opener last year, they really confused Josh Allen in the prior game that they should have won. There's no way they're going to be able to do it again, and they did it again. So this very well may be like a Steelers versus Peyton Manning, or a Steelers versus the Chiefs pre Mahomes, where it's like, the Steelers have this team's number. So, and last year was also in Buffalo. So they just been up there. Obviously, that's going to be hard as hell. Buffalo's kind of the Super Bowl favorite, or one of the few Super Bowl favorites. But I think that there might be a chance that the Steelers have a nice matchup against them. I'd probably take the Bills, but like I said, that's not a foregone conclusion. There's no way they're beating Tom Brady. they never do. So the Buccaneers game, like, I'm sorry. What a great passing offense they have. Byron Leftwich with tons of familiarity with Tomlin and what the Steelers want to do. I really think that there's, like, it's probably childhood trauma and adulthood and adolescent trauma and adulthood trauma. My entire life has been watching Tom Brady rip the Steelers' hearts out. I think that there's no chance they win that game. What about you?
Well, Tom Brady's got to fall off a cliff at some point.
I don't think so. I am past that take.
You think he'll go to 50?
He just led the league in passing last year. It was unbelievable. He might go to 90. I don't know. He's sold his soul. He's unbelievable. So, where is that Tampa game? In Pittsburgh?
Yes.
That's nice. That helps. But, no, I really – and I just think – I do think Tom Brady himself has such a feel for the Steelers' stupid little zone defense. And they're not going to be able to just man up Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. But, hey, their receivers always seem to be getting injured. And AB's not on the team. But he might be by that time, because their receivers are going to get injured. And Tom's going to be like, yeah, we're bringing him back. Arians isn't the coach. I don't know if you saw this today, but David texted me.
I was going to hold that for our last little tidbit.
I feel like now's the time, right?
Go for it.
Maybe the Buccaneers won't have this. Won't have AB, but maybe the Steelmen will.
For 24 hours.
AB tweeted, just want to retire a Steeler today, and I think a lot of people will be screaming at that. I laughed and told David, "Man, I must have Stockholm syndrome. Bring him back. Come back, AB.
Come back.
We want it. Bring him back."
Imagine that stable of receivers we'd have.
Oh my gosh. I just want it all to be okay at the end, so that when he retires, we can be like, yeah, that got a little dicey there, but man, that was fun having him as a Steeler, and you want him to be a Steeler for all time that way. I honestly do. Like, that stuff was so painful. Hated it in the past. Hated him. Still have that was so crazy, but I would love, and I think it's that, come on, you want that for your franchise. Like, He's the best receiver in franchise history. It's unbelievable how angry people get about that. Like, Hines. What? I didn't say the most well-liked. Hines was never a top 10 receiver in the NFL, let alone the single best receiver in the NFL for like 7 years in a row, right? You can't just not have that guy in your, you know, coming back to Hines and whatever. Like, he's got to be part of the franchise that way. But the real reason why we want him to come back is if he comes back, I mean, Ben's coming back, right? And he's coming back at 35 years old, right? Is this going to be a fountain of youth? Le'Veon's still out there, okay? Martavis just got cut by the CFL. Let's get the band back together.
You know he scored his first touchdown in 6 years? Did you see that?
He's ready.
He's in the fan-controlled league.
With T.O. Nice. Cool. Well, then that means he's all warmed up and ready to go. Bring the boys back. Let Kenny and Pickens and the boys just take a little bit. They get to see greatness up close. And we get some revenge on Tom and the Buccaneers.
Well, we're talking about the 50th anniversary of the Immaculate Reception. Maybe Joe's still in good enough shape to at least get out there for a play, a game.
Oh yeah, he can get out there. Okay, so who's after the Buccaneers?
Miami and Philadelphia, both.
So Miami is stacked. Miami's so stacked. People don't realize how good the defense is. I think that's the big thing about Miami. We obviously know the receivers are crazy and this and that. I mean, Tua sucks, dude. The Steelers do a good job against teams with choky quarterbacks. That is going to be such a hard game. But again, just look through history. It's been happening forever. The Steelers can make their way with that because Tomlin will scare the team all week like he does, talking crap to the corners and everybody. They got Tyreek Hill. They got Jalen Waddle. They got all these guys. Gesicki. Like, you got to be aware of them. They're better than you, man. They're faster than you. They're scary enough for the Steelers to take seriously, but the Tua thing kind of makes it a little bit easier.
And then Philadelphia.
I forgot what time it was. I was getting so excited by this. We'll do a quick roll through. That's sort of a similar thing where Jalen Hurts, he's so easy to root for and he keeps getting a lot better, but you know, that's encouraging to not have an elite type of quarterback for that. But we'll talk a lot more about the schedule. Maybe we'll do kind of like a half and half anyway, since we're sort of halfway done now. But you can talk about it in the meantime at ColorCast, which is a live, audio-only sports talk platform that's free to download and easy to use, where you can talk to fans, athletes, and insiders in real time. Perfect for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and reacting to breaking news. All you need to do is download the ColorCast app for free in the iOS App Store, create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the group. And today's episode of Steelers Outpost Podcast was brought to you by Sports Drink, your digital water cooler. Sports Drink is a newly created internet community that tries to find the intersection of sports and not sports. They're here to help us grow. They got podcasts for tons of the major sports teams. And if you want to get some information on the other teams, it is a great way to do it. Hopefully we'll have some collaborations with them throughout the year, but we always really appreciate Sports Drink for hosting our podcast.
All right, this is a kind of a super episode, everybody. Hit us up on Twitter at Steelers Outpost. Shoot us an email at SteelersOutpost@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. Until next week, go Steelers.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery
starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.